News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton. I believe Katie Britt is going to be down on Dolphin Island tonight for an event. And we hope to talk to her more about that on the way. We're waiting on the call from the Brits. I believe Wesley and Katie will both be joining us. I think we went through the proper channels to make that happen. So now it's kind of a wait and see. 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk, 1065. Zix.
Zix.
1065.
I believe that's a Greek. It's the next variant.
Well, I had Z on my mind because Mark Zuckerberg's wealth dropped as much as $31 billion. Billion.
Yeah.
Among the biggest one-day drops in wealth ever.
It is the biggest, I think they've decided now.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's after Meta Platforms Incorporated fourth quarter results fell short of analyst expectations. Meta is in the midst of a historic stock collapse after its earnings on Wednesday showed no growth in monthly Facebook users last quarter relative to the prior period, raising concern about the company's future growth. Shares tumbled 24%. Wow.
It ended at 26, actually, yesterday. Fell 26%.
Wow.
And they said that erased $251 billion in market value, the biggest wipeout in market value for any U.S. company ever, all time. $251 billion. And a big part of this, they said, is Apple's new privacy settings on the phone. They've made a bigger push to keep people, or at least make them aware when or if they're being tracked by advertisers. And you look at Facebook, not necessarily Meta as a whole, but Facebook's how they make their money is through the gathering of data and the selling of advertising, whether it's subliminal advertising or right out in the open. That's how they make their money, and that's exactly what Apple and their new notifications that they put up on the phone kind of fights against. A lot of people are wondering if Facebook might be kind of seeing the end of their decades-long run here.
So Meta's co-founders also taking a beating, it looks like, in their personal wealth, as you would imagine. Let's see. We've got line one is up right now.
Yeah, let's see. FM Talk 106.5, who are we talking to?
Hi, this is Katie.
Yeah,
Brent.
All right.
How are you?
Hey, Katie. We were hoping this was you. Thank you so much.
I'm sorry. I tried to call just a little bit ago, but it ended up the line got cut off, so I'm glad I got through.
Yes, glad to have you through, Katie. How's the campaign going?
It is going wonderfully. Like, we are working so hard. So, as you know, we got in the campaign in June of last year and just worked diligently the last, 6 months of the year. We visited every single county in the state. And y'all, this state is bigger than you think it is. I will tell you that. But it was just an incredible opportunity. I mean, our greatest resource, it's our people. And so to sit down and listen to people, to listen to their, their hopes, their dreams, kind of sort of what their challenges are, what they know this country to be and what we need to be fighting for, was just a wonderful way to kick this off. And that's what this is all about, is going and fighting for our Christian conservative values in Washington, D.C., and also fighting to make sure that hard working Alabamians have a seat at the table. So we're excited.
Katie, I want to talk to you about some national issues here in a minute and also the campaign. But tonight, what's on the schedule for tonight? You guys in this neck of the woods?
Yes, we are headed down your way right now. So we've got a full day today and tomorrow. I'm actually in the car with Wesley. He is excited to be a part, obviously, of the Senior Bowl. So we are coming down there. We're going to Theodore, and then we're also going to be stopping. We have a meet and greet on Dolphin Island, and we're excited about that. Pirates Bar and Grill there on Dolphin Island at 5:30. So we would love for anybody who can to come out and visit with us. Then we'll be going back over to Mobile and participating in the Senior Bowl festivities, and are excited to be down there and see so many people on the coast.
Well, is Wesley doing something in particular with the Senior Bowl?
Yes. Well, I'll ask him what it is.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Wesley, what's going on, man?
Man, I am excited about the Senior Bowl. I know we got some great Alabama and Auburn players out there to play. We look forward to, we'll be at the parade tonight. I was at the opening ceremonies. Big supporter, having played in the Senior Bowl and know the impact. that can have on a young, to have every, all the top draft prospects in Mobile is a huge deal by itself, but the opportunity it gives, that it gives these young men to prepare for their future is incredible. And I'm glad to be supporting, I'm glad to be on the Senior Bowl committee and be supporting that. And look forward to a great game.
Hey, Wesley, since we have you on the line real quick, give me an idea what it's like to go through this, your wife campaigning for such a high-profile position and in the news every day. And as a husband and father, how what's this experience been like?
You know, I was actually – that's a great question, and I was actually thinking about that yesterday. I told Katie – it wasn't long into this campaign when I told Katie. I said, Katie, I ain't worked like this since training camp in the New England Patriots, and this is tough. And after I said, Katie, do you always work like this? She said, yeah, pick it up, Wesley, come on. And but it has honestly been the joy of my life. First and foremost, Katie's been my best friend for 22 years and just an amazing person. I know that this is a mission, and we've got to work. I know what she can do. I know where her heart is, and I love traveling the state with her. And I love seeing Alabama. There's no other state, there's no other place in the world like Alabama. We have the greatest people and the greatest place, and it has been awesome, especially in rural Alabama. Now, I could skip anything that I got to tie on. Now, that, let's write that off. Mm-hmm. But that's just me from Coleman, Alabama. But everything out, especially the rural parts of the state, eating catfish, I even had, in Lowndes County, I had a Philly cheesesteak stuffed baked potato.
Wow.
And so being an offensive lineman, 6'8", 320, you know, that was, you know where my heart goes to.
You probably ate it in 12. Ate it in 12 seconds. We got a few questions for your wife, if you don't mind.
Yes.
Yeah, no, so, absolutely.
Thanks for joining the call there, Wesley. That's very, very cool. So, Katie, have some questions for you here. If you were to win the primary and then the general election, some things that would possibly be on your plate and in the news right now, what do you feel the U.S.'s role in this Ukraine-Russia crisis should be? How do you feel on the national stage? What should our involvement be?
Yes. So we are in this position as a direct result of Joe Biden's weakness. I think we need to kind of sort of rewind and think about how we got here. So you have Reagan, who continued to preach during his time in the presidency, peace through strength.
Mm-hmm.
You had Donald Trump that practiced that. There is a reason we did not get into any new wars under Trump's presidency. It is because he conducted himself and made sure that our country was in a position of strength, not weakness. Unfortunately, when you look at what Biden has done, and you also look at the interplay between both foreign and domestic policy, I think that's important to look at to realize how we got here. First, you had a botched withdrawal from Afghanistan, where we had an American president that got on bended knee to the Taliban. He allowed them to dictate how and why and when we would leave. He left Americans behind enemy lines. He left Christian missionaries behind enemy lines. And he did not keep his word to our allies. And when you do that, you embolden the enemy and you undermine our credibility across the globe. And that is exactly what happened here. When other countries, and particularly our adversaries, see that level of weakness. I mean, you saw China within 48 hours of that begin to circle Taiwan and say, guess what? You are next, and they're not coming to help you. When you look at what that did with Russia, so you kind of sort of also need to come back to, obviously, failed domestic policy of Biden's. When he cut off the Keystone Pipeline within the first 100 days of his presidency, you know, no longer allowing us to be on the road for energy independence, but yet at the same time removed the sanctions on the Nord Stream 2 there for Russia. I mean, that's the greatest prize that Putin could have possibly gotten, and we got nothing in return. Then you have the Russians who come in and attack our colonial pipeline, allowing our, you know, energy prices to go through the roof here in America, and Biden does nothing. What does Biden do? He says, let me give you a list of things that would be, I would really prefer you to not touch. Y'all, that's not how this works.
Mm-hmm.
So then you have Putin realizing, also, too, because of, you know, allowing that Nord Stream 2 and, we have more natural gas than any other country in the world, but yet, you know, we are allowing places like Germany, countries like Germany, to have to be solely dependent on Russia. So Putin has them exactly where he wants them. Then you look at what's happening at the border, like as that kind of sort of continues to elevate, and oh, you can't forget that start the Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty that, you know, was done under Obama. Biden gave them an extension of that of 5 years. That's a win for Putin, and we got nothing in return. So as we've seen these troops come up, you know, the difference is under both Obama and now Biden, you know, we are not showing strength. You have, you know, Biden, I mean, Obama, well, I guess it's kind of all the same thing at this point, don't you think? but Obama sent them blankets during his tenure there on the Ukraine border when this, and then you have Trump who sent them weaponry and bombs and made sure that they could defend themselves. And so the position we are in right now is a direct result of continual failed leadership and weakness exuded by the Biden administration.
Republican U.S. Senate candidate Katie Britt is with us on Mobile Mornings this morning at 17 minutes after 8 o'clock.
And Katie, speaking of energy and the cost of energy, really inflation as a whole, you know, we hit $30 trillion in debt this week. How do we begin to dig our way out of that? If you became a senator from this state, how would you start to work on that?
Yes, well, that is another national security risk, honestly, not to mention, obviously, we are putting this toll on our children's children's children at this point. I mean, first, I think you have to balance the budget. You know, everybody else has to do that across America, but yet for some reason, we don't make sure that our lawmakers in Washington, D.C. have to abide by the same rules that we do in our household. So, I mean, I think we have to pass a balanced budget amendment. And I would go so far as to say that we don't need our lawmakers getting paid until they're able to balance the budget. I think that would probably give them a little bit of an incentive to make it happen. If you look at that starting there, then you need to start cutting government waste. I think you look at agencies across, you know, across the spectrum and see what is, you know, where does the federal government actually need to be? Where does it not need to be? I would say one of the very first things I would do is get rid of the Department of Education. I mean, I think that that is something that needs to be done on the state and local level. We don't need the federal government infiltrating our education system. We also don't need bureaucrats in that department who make on average over $100,000. You know, when you have teachers here in the state that make less than half of that. I then think you take and you really do an actual audit of these agencies and you figure out where we have duplication. Because unfortunately, you know, the more bureaucrats we have, the more red tape that is created, the more troublesome that is for business, and, you know, small business in particular. I'm a big believer in that the best thing that the government can do is just get out of the way. But we need to make sure that where we have that duplication, where you have two agencies doing the same thing or acquiring different things of the same business, et cetera, that we eliminate that. And then I think you have to, I would take it a step further and just say, as we work to, you know, you have authorizers and you have appropriators. And so it's set up that, you know, what is authorized or what is appropriated needs to be authorized. And I think we hold people accountable in that degree as well.
Katie, we can't, we're going to end it with this right now because we can't, you know, can't have a conversation with anybody, a politician or a government official or whatever, without bringing up COVID. So this administration seems to have thrown their hands up in the air in the last month. And now it's kind of a, hey, y'all are on your own. As a U.S. Senator, where would you want to lead this country as it pertains to COVID going forward?
Yeah, so I think obviously you have to take things serious. You also have to make sure that you are reinforcing personal responsibility. I think you encourage everyone to talk with their doctor and make the decisions that make most sense for them. Unfortunately for all of us, this became a political hot potato instead of something that we dealt with as a unified country. You have Biden that when he couldn't quite figure out how to handle it, he would then mandate solutions that ended up not being solutions at all. I also think it's important to kind of sort of look at how that was done. You know, here he mandated a vaccine that was really targeted, y'all, at hardworking, law-abiding Americans. I mean, it was only people that were working to provide for their family that were put in the crosshairs, which showed you how inauthentic the actual mandate was. I mean, it was about fear and control. If it was really, if he really believed that that's what we needed to be doing, I mean, then that he would have had the people across coming across the border. He would have made them get vaccinated. If you look at what he did, you know, with regards to kind of sort of that federal nexus, people who are getting welfare checks, he would have, you know, mandated they get vaccinated before they cash those checks. But that wasn't the approach at all. And so it was all very political, and that you can see through that. I think it is important as we lead that we get back to our normal lives. I mean, we need to get children back in the classroom, obviously taking precautions to make sure that we are, you know, keeping people safe. But it is time. I mean, the learning loss that is being created by children being at home and not being in that classroom, both learning loss, both developmental skills, you know, social skills, et cetera, we will see the effects of this for generations to come.
Katie, we're out of time. We thank you so much.
Yeah, we appreciate your time this morning. Also having Wesley on the phone. Again, if someone locally here wants to come out and see you and Wesley, shake your hand, talk politics, a meet and greet Dauphin Island today, and then you said you'll be around at the Senior Bowl tomorrow. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, Dauphin Island tonight at 5:30 at Pirates Bar and Grill, and then tomorrow we'll be at the Senior Bowl. And so, Dan Dalton, I really appreciate the opportunity to be in front of you. We believe we have to earn the vote of every Alabamian. And so to be on your show and to be able to talk with your listeners means more than you know.
Hey, drive through real quick and get Wesley a biscuit. I can feel his hunger from here.
That's right. We will do it. We'll pull over and get him one. Yeah, right. I'll do that for you.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you, Wesley.
All right. Y'all have a good one.
All right.
Katie Britt, Wesley Britt joining us on this Friday morning. Again, she said Dauphin Island, 5:30 tonight.
Pirates Bar,
and then Senior Bowl tomorrow. And coming back, more Mobile Mornings on the way.
Morning, it is Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 8:27 on Mobile Mornings. And before we get done here today, we have the Mobile Rundown.
Yes.
Rundown of not just the weekend, but the following week's activities. Brooks Conkle will join us on FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings.
Yeah, and we will also this hour get into that. Am I wrong to call it a blockbuster report?
No. It's not just, you know, blockbuster reports we recognize as blockbuster reports, like, well, that's a big story. This is unbelievable.
So the Pritchard Water Board and some fraud apparently going on there.
Not a little bit of fraud.
A lot of fraud.
Wow.
We'll get into that. But first, some text here. And let's see. Someone sending us the wrong text. Call me after you wake up and feed the dogs, please. I'll let you know.
I love that.
Houndstooth says,
I got to get back to them. I'll let them know that the dog is acting very... The dog's not doing well. Please rush home.
How many scoops again, Alan? How many were supposed to give the dog? Houndstooth says, that was a great interview. Y'all asked some good questions. Excellent job. Thank you, Houndstooth. This text...
Well, Houndstooth called us an idiot earlier in the week. So
that's right.
He's coming around on the old Mobile Mornings. Thank you, buddy.
Lots of hot and cold on the text line.
Yeah.
This texter says, Katie's worst point is that she was Chelby's chief of staff and she worked for the Business Council of Alabama. Mm-hmm. I think that is a lot of people's hang-up, her past in politics being aligned with Chelby like that.
This is the first time she's run for public office since for U.S. Senator, so that's a big deal, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Kelly says, if this lady campaigns more down here, she will win. I'm just saying. Tina in Orange Beach says, I need a yard sign, Katie Britt for OBA. And there you go. Some texts coming in as Katie Britt, nice enough to join us this morning, and Wesley Britt as well. You know, we had a lot of questions to get to, some limited time, but I don't – and Jeff and Sean have done a fantastic job also talking with Katie. But so many times these – you know, all of these candidates, Mo Brooks, Mike Durant, Katie Britt, they're more closely aligned in their political views than you would – candidates in, you know, Washington State or California. But still, for a lot of these discussions to devolve into the personal attacks and saying mean things, I think you need to hear more about what they're going to do once they get the job.
Yeah, they're trying to get the job any way they can. That's where the mean things come in, right?
Exactly.
Campaigning. 8:30 FM Talk 106.5, Dan and Dalton, and more on the Pritchard Water Board blockbuster.
Thanks, Kane. 8:35 now on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Let's talk with Louie Arata from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing great here at the FM Talk 106.5 studios. Got a big weekend ahead of us here in Mobile. What you got going on at McConnell Automotive?
Shoot. Well, we're gonna be there. It's going to be a little wet on the roads today, so if y'all have that unfortunate accident, don't forget. We got a great body shop back there, and we're having a brand new paint booth back there, so that's going to be perfect. And I mean, we just got a bunch of cars to sell. Y'all mm-hmm. can check all that stuff out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. I just rode by the dealership about 5 minutes ago. All the front line's looking real good, and y'all go check them out. We're going to be there tomorrow. Looks like it's going to be a sunny day. Hope everybody has a great time at the Senior Bowl. Be careful and have a great weekend.
Louie, also, if someone wants to sell their vehicle, McConnell's buying.
That's right. We are buying. Call Gene, 251-476-4141. Him or Nick, and they'll give you a great deal on purchasing your vehicle.
All right. Thanks, Louie. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Louie Arata, you'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and, of course, online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
836 FM Talk 106.5. Let's revisit the one of our three big things. It's actually number two on our list. I think may bump it up.
And let's preface that story with the one from Andrea Ramey yesterday. So we'll talk about the Lanyap story about the fraud at Pritchard's Waterworks and Sewage Board here in just a minute. But Andrea Ramey with MyNBC 15, you know, she's had several stories over a while of people being overcharged for different utilities. And sometimes it's unbelievable. And a lot of times it's mistakes that are made, and sometimes it's just egregious, I don't know, overcharges.
The bills are so way over the top of what you, like, for instance, and I thought this was a repeat of a former story, but you're saying
it's
no?
Not, this is something different, yeah. So Andrew Ramey reports that Dora Bolden, who 2 months ago, her water bill with Pritchard Waterworks and Sewer Board, her water bill then was $34. Her latest water bill was $2,117. Her daughter, Teresa Merriweather, says her mother lives on a fixed income. She's a senior citizen and can't afford a $2,000 water bill.
Who could?
Who exactly? And so Pritchard Waterworks claims that Bolden, who lives alone, used more than 322,000 gallons of water in 1 month. That could fill an Olympic swimming pool halfway. And her daughter said they searched. They couldn't find any leaks or busted pipes on their end. They found only a dripping hose in the backyard. When they complained to Pritchard Waterworks and Sewerage Board, she says they were offered a $50 credit and were told that Bolden had to get on a payment plan or her water service would be cut. She
That's
said,
crazy.
You have no choices. It's either pay your bill or don't buy your medicine, or pay your bill and don't pay your mortgage. How do you do that to a senior? So obviously something was off on someone's end with the $2,000 water bill, but Pritchard Water, the water board is in serious poor financial shape. This story from Gabe Times that we've been talking about all morning says that the five-member water board has more than $55 million in outstanding debt. And by the way, they're currently in a lawsuit with the city of Pritchard over the maintenance of fire hydrants. But this unbelievable story that Gabe Times with Lanyap posted yesterday, the Lanyap obtained an audit that shows significant credit card transactions that were made by the former manager of Pritchard Waterworks and Sewer Board, Nia Bradley. During her tenure, these transactions were made, and they show a multi-year spending spree where credit cards under her authority were used to purchase luxury goods like Gucci and Louis Vuitton, first-class airfare, personal chauffeurs, and five-star hotels in locations in New York, Chicago, Miami, and Atlanta. Gabe also says they bought food and a food truck that was purchased for the Pritchard Water Board and then stolen from the Pritchard Water Board. Mm. Over 1 year, Nia Bradley and her associates, according to Gabe and the audit, used the Water Board's public funds to pay for nearly $140,000 worth of personal and travel expenses, more than $38,000 on Mardi Gras supplies for 2019 and 2020, and also they transferred more than $248,000 to a business called Unlimited Auto, which, according to this investigation, Unlimited Auto provided no invoices or receipts for any services provided. And they received, again, $248,000. Now, according to the report, the bulk of the expenses were on a credit card controlled by former employee Randy Burden. And Burden's tax records indicate that he co-owns several properties in Mobile County with Nia Bradley. She, Bradley, first came under fire in 2019 for approving some expenses, including smart garbage cans for the office, also lunches and swag for employees. She quit in May of last year after the city council appointed new members to the board. But this audit uncovered $4 million in unquestioned expenses during her tenure there at the water board. And there's still even more accounts that they have to check out that Nia Bradley was in control of. The utility now has a bond rating that's expected to be lowered to BBB-, which is junk bond status, they said. That's when they believe that the organization is likely to default. And according to the credit report, while she and her other employees were globetrotting, the board's cash levels fell from $2.3 million in 2019 to $575,000 last year. So over $1.5 million just gone off the books.
Unbelievable.
And they said these findings have been presented to District Attorney Ashley Rich's office. Yesterday, she said she could not comment on the matter. Also, Lanyap reached out to the chairman of the Pritchard Water Board, Russell Heidelberg. And Heidelberg said since the issue has been turned over to law enforcement, he also declined to comment, while the mayor of Pritchard, Jimmy Gardner, deferred comment to the city council. But some of these expenses are just absolutely crazy.
Like, I mean, it's like one of those Rich Housewives shows.
Yeah,
you know, the what would they do? The Rich Housewives of New York or L.A. or NBA basketball wives, or, you know, all these reality shows where they're spending money like, well, they've got all they can possibly need.
Right. Just
well, you don't have all you could possibly need when you're spending a water utilities money like that's crazy.
It's absolutely insane. And hopefully, you know, this investigation will at least turn up more information on how exactly all of this happened. Listen to some of these expenses. $3,910 was spent at Bishop State Community College on Bradley's credit card. She paid $775 for a single piece of luggage from Gucci, at least $16,000 in payments to Louis Vuitton, $1,200 to Dillard's and other expenses at JCPenney, TJ Maxx, and Victoria's Secret. This is the one that gets me. A staggering $15,500 spent at Mesmerize, like Mesmerize, but spelled E-Y-E-Z at the end.
Yes.
Mesmerize.com for what are described as color cosmetic contact lenses. 15.5 G's for colored contact lenses.
You got to have that look just right.
Also, yeah, $800 for a purchase at GameStop. Someone got a new Xbox or PlayStation. $2,500 at Columbia Southern University. And on many of the expense reports, they said Bradley noted she had lost the receipt and provided no additional documentation about the expenses.
There's more out there. And, you know, it's a great conversation starter when it's, are your eyes brown or green?
Yeah.
That's a good way. That's like an icebreaker. That's worth 15 grand, right?
Yeah, that's another, you know, five overcharges for people in Pritchard. That's all that cost. You know, just charge them $2,000 for a month's water bill. She also, when she went to New York, which again, they paid for chauffeurs, and five-star accommodations.
Crazy.
Like some of the hotels they stayed at, $16,000. This is not just Bradley, but also employees. $16,000 spent at the Hilton Hotel in Sandestin, $1,600 at the Hampton Inn in Orange Beach, $3,000 at the Marriott Marquis in Chicago. They stayed at the five-star Ritz Carlton in Atlanta. That's $5,780. And also stayed at the five-star Waldorf Resort in New Orleans. That's $1,647. And would, while they were in New York, mailed herself at least six packages via FedEx, some with declared values as high as $5,000. And the shipping was, of course, charged to the water board.
Mm.
So just an unbelievable
breakdown here. But how does all this accumulate with no stopgaps during this spree?
Yeah, how does no one say,
hey,
what's going on here?
Exactly. I can't imagine.
That's a major question, and probably the major question right now. They said Heidelberg, who's now the head of the board, said that at some point during Bradley's tenure, they did indeed purchase a food truck, but that other details are part of a criminal investigation. And Gabe Tynes wrote, according to someone with knowledge of the truck, it was later allegedly stolen from the waterboard parking lot by a waterboard employee. Other documents, Tynes says, indicate the board may have agreed to pay the employee's bond and legal fees subject to a repayment through a payroll deduction, but the employee quit before the debt was repaid. So it sounds like they figured out that this was happening and let law enforcement know, and then even offered to pay out the bond and legal fees, but they said she quit before paying them back, obviously. Many of the board members, they said, were surprised and upset by the audit. Heidelberg says it's too early to say what the long-term implications of the expenses will be on the utility's budget, but as we said earlier, they are in terrible financial condition right now.
Now it's a new board, I believe. I think Heidelberg.
That's right. Yes.
Heidelberg is part of a new board.
Kind of a changing of the guard.
Okay. That was overdue, obviously. And a lot of their bills are going to be overdue. And a lot of the bills they send out for $2,000 are going to be overdue.
And let me say, great reporting from Gabe Tynes. I read a lot of the story there, but I encourage you to go to landyatmobile.com and read it for yourself. Some more incredible reporting there.
8:46, we're going to talk with Brooks Conkle of the Mobile Rundown. Find out what's going on, y'all. 8:46, but I will be downtown tonight for that King Cakeoff beginning at 5 o'clock at the Temple. Then the parade, then the big concert. Should be a lot of fun. Chilly, but fun. 8:51, FM Talk 106.5, Dan and Dalton and Mobile Mornings. Thank you again to Katie and Wesley Britt. That was pretty cool getting his perspective on things as well. They're heading down to Dolphin Island. Going to be around downtown Mobile tonight. Got a lot of stuff going on with the Senior Bowl this weekend. Wesley on the board, I believe. Meanwhile, what else is going on? We've got the guy to tell us. Brooks Conkle is with the Mobile Rundown and joins us on Fridays at this time. Good morning, Brooks. Brooks, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Hey, morning. How y'all doing?
We're doing good.
Doing great. And, awesome. You know, we last week had the first Mardi Gras parade of the year down on Dolphin Island. But it feels like this week kind of kicks off 2022 and all the events we have as the weather starts warming up. It'll be a cold weekend, but of course it's Senior Bowl weekend and a lot going on downtown tonight.
Yeah, exactly. I just checked the rain forecast and it looks like it's going to clear out this afternoon, which I'm excited about because, there's a lot happening downtown for sure this evening. There's a Senior Bowl parade, the King Cakeoff, which I'm in final preps with helping actually produce that, is this afternoon as well at 5 o'clock. And then a block away from where that is, that's at the Temple, a block away from that is the Senior Bowl free concert this evening. Portugal the Man's playing. So there's a lot going on just tonight in downtown Mobile. And then tomorrow, obviously, Senior Bowl happens. One of the biggest things of the weekend happening.
Right. And Dan began fasting 36 hours ago for the King Cakeoff tonight. He's going to be a judge. He wants to make sure that his body is completely empty of any other nutrition.
You know, any talk of my body is a little uncomfortable on the air. But I'm trying to clean that palate out.
I don't know how well that's going to end for you with pure sugar, but I'm glad you've been preparing. That's awesome.
Yeah. And so that's Portugal the Man tonight, right? I played some of that music earlier for Dan. They've got some big hits, but they are kind of the headliner for that party tonight.
I guess Senior Bowl started, I guess it was last year the first year they did the free concert or 2 years ago, but anyways, it's a start of them doing kind of the whole week leading up to Senior Bowl and kind of having multiple things during the week, so they kind of launched that idea, and then this is who they landed this year. It's really awesome that they're doing it. I think it's great, like having a whole plethora of entertainment for folks that are here for Senior Bowl.
So if football isn't exactly someone's thing out there and they're looking for something else to get into this weekend, what else are you seeing around?
If you don't like football, go get some free music. There's a 5K on the 5th tomorrow at Historic Blakely. There's a 5K fun run going on if you want to do that. There's a cool market at Nova Espresso, which is a coffee shop downtown. So there's like a Valentine's like local makers type market going on, and that's tomorrow as well. So
Sounds good. This parade tonight, by the way, Brooks, is it just a walking parade? It will feature some of the players from the Senior Bowl walking with their jerseys on, so you can kind of identify them?
Yeah, I think some of the players are supposed to be a part of the parade, and I'm pretty sure, they've got floats. I think they borrowed floats from the Mardi Gras organization. It's a full on parade this evening.
I know that the route is small. It's quick and it's on Dolphin Street, which usually is not the case. Just to alert people that that route just goes from the hotel district up Dolphin Street and to Cathedral Square to kick off the concert, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it ends right around that area. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, right around Cathedral Square area.
And, of course, tomorrow, 1 o'clock, the Dauphin Island People's Parade, and that'll be the second Mardi Gras parade on Dauphin Island and in our area. But then, Brooks, I mean, it's right around the corner. Next Friday, Mobile parades begin with the Condi Cavaliers, and you guys have a, at the Mobile Rundown, you'll have everyone in the know for all of the upcoming Mobile parades.
Yeah, for sure. Yep.
Let everybody, Brooks, if somebody wants to get one of their events on the Rundown to get it to better publicity, what's the way they go about to do that?
Yeah, they can go to our website. If they want to submit an event, they can directly on our website. They can, and then we can review it and discuss with them and get it up and live on our website. And of course, people can sign up to get our email if they want to, or they can just literally hop on the website and check events every week if they want as well.
Popular website and popular portion of our show, too, on Fridays at this time. Brooks Conkle with the Mobile Rundown. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk again in 1 week.
All right, guys. Sounds great. Have a nice weekend.
You got it. I'll see you tonight.
All right. Sounds good.
That's Brooks
with my beanie.
With your beanie. You're all about the beanie today.
I am. I'm pricing them online.
Were beanies affected by inflation?
Yes.
You know? They were?
Beanieflation.
Beanieflation.
That's what I'm seeing online right now. Hmm. I see beanies as low as $2.99.
Yeah.
And there's some, I think the big one that I got to get for Wesley Britt, because I guess I'm going to see him down at that concert tonight. So
do they make beanies that big?
XXL, $13.99.
Wow.
So that'd be like a, I don't know if I can do that because it's almost
day's
like
wages.
It's like a campaign gift, so I don't think I can do that because I've got to stay.
Yeah,
none.
You know, if Dan gets his one question of Joe Biden, President Biden, in an interview, you would say, "Hey, man, what's the deal with these beanie prices? They've gotten completely out of control."
I just started looking them up now. I think they are out of control.
So, speaking of out of control, how about China? Right.
Out of control, right, man?
The opening ceremonies.
Are you doing stand-up right now?
No. The opening ceremonies began 5:30 our time this morning. Mm-hmm. And I guess, Peacock, they're going to be streaming all of these events. Have you noticed there are more American athletes jumping ship and playing for other countries than I've ever seen before? And actually, three American athletes that are going to be playing for Team China this year. So the most popular,
China's got the most people in the world,
and they're,
why do they have to poach our guys?
Yeah, it's like they're like recruiting them, like Nick Saban or something.
Yeah.
So 18-year-old California-born half Chinese free skiing champion Eileen Gu has abandoned Team USA and is joining China's free skiing team. But then there are two hockey players.
Boo to goo.
Two hockey players, and one's last name you may find familiar, Jake Chelios, the son of longtime pro hockey player Chris Chelios.
Yes, right.
He moved to Beijing a few years ago to play for a Chinese-owned hockey team that's in the KHL. The KHL is Russia's hockey league. But he has decided to join Team China, their hockey team, for the Olympics.
He probably couldn't make our team.
He said, I think half the family was a little confused. And you're right, he couldn't. He said, since we've been over here for 3 years, you start to feel a closeness to China. We've been eating Chinese food, living the culture. So there's a certain closeness you start to feel with China. You start to feel like you're going to represent them and you want to win for them. Also, former NHL goaltender Jeremy Smith has joined the China team. So three Americans with not much of a Chinese background, except for the half-Chinese Eileen Gu, have now joined Team China.
Nothing says China like Jeremy Smith.
Right.
It's 8:59. Jeff Poor's on the way. FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton back with you Monday morning at 6 a.m.